Let me know that God likes to protect his people. Yeah. The Bible is full of statements and scriptures and God showing out and showing up for his people. He loves to protect his people. You know, as a parent, you like to protect your children, right? I know as a father growing up, my kids growing up, I always wanted to protect my children. Yeah. And God's our Father in heaven. And the reason we want to do that is because it's the nature of God to protect his children. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to bear this out through scripture and look at this and apply it to everyday life. How many of you know the Bible applies to where we're living today? It applies to the situations that we're in, the things that we face. It's not just ethereal or philosophical. It's out there somewhere. It's in the nitty-gritty of life. That's what the Bible is written for, is to get us through the difficult places and the difficult times in life. And it's there, the scriptures are there to help us be overcomers. And there's so many scriptures about overcoming, and especially in the book of Revelations, every time it says, and he who overcomes, to he who overcomes. Well, when it says overcome, it's telling us two things. Number one, we're supposed to be victorious. But number two, you don't overcome unless you're going up against something. So it's letting us know that this life is not going to be easy. There's going to be lots of challenges. But don't get discouraged, because you're going to overcome every adversity, every challenge, everything that the world throws at you, the devil throws at you, sin throws at you, the curse, other people, whatever comes at you in this life. Jesus saw it ahead of time 2,000 years ago, and he paid the price on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago to give us the victory. Whatever you're facing today, Jesus saw it. He was bearing that with you on the cross and paid a price for you to live victorious in this life. How many have ever heard of something called the coronavirus? How many ever heard of, anybody heard of that? Who, anybody not heard of that? Is anybody that hasn't heard of it? Okay, so everybody has heard of it. So I just, you know, want you to, if people would just stop drinking that Corona beer, this thing would go away. Did you know that? Actually, they've had a big drop in sales. A lot of people think that it's somehow connected. People are staying away from Corona beer like the plague, because somehow they think it's corrected. But I hope you understand it is not connected to Corona, the Corona beer. That's the beer you see it on TV all the time. They serve it with a lime in the top of the bottle. So yesterday I saw in the paper, in the classifieds, in the seeking relationships, it said a man with coronavirus seeking woman with Lyme disease. That was bad. But you're going to tell that tomorrow too at UF. You're going to tell them about that. Somebody's going to... How many are concerned, at least a little bit, about this virus? A few people. How many... You don't have to raise your hand, but you're afraid. It's actually brought some fear. Well, I got some news for you today. Well, first I want to ask some questions. Are we all going to die? The answer is yes, we're all going to die. Just not from the coronavirus, all right? The other question, will God protect us from the evil and the calamity of this planet? The answer is yes, emphatically yes. There's a place in Alaska, the name of the city is called Port Protection. And it got its name because where it is on the coast of Alaska, there's two seas that meet, and these seas are known for their violent waves. The winds whip up, they come through this pass, and many ships have been lost in that area. And what they found, you know, like 100 years ago, they found this little cove on an island in Alaska that's fully protected, and the seas just outside can be 15, 20-foot seas, and you get inside this little pass, and the seas are like glass. It's like a lake in there. And they named it Port Protection, and it's there today. It's a small community. It's only about 100 people that sprung up because so many ships like to go in there. And I think when I think of God, that's a symbol to me. It's a picture of the way our relationship with God is. It's a place of safety and security. When the seas are raging and you don't think your ship is going to make it, there's a place you can pull in where the waters are nice and calm. And the seas are still raging out there. No matter what's going on in the world around us, I want you to know there's a place to take your soul with God that's a place of peace and calmness and tranquility that you can receive from God and be blessed and be comfortable and be safe. And that's what God is all about. He will protect us. So today I want to talk about living safe in an unsafe world. Living in peace in a troubled world. Is the world troubled? Living secure in an insecure world. Are more and more people feeling insecure about so many different things? Yeah? How about living in faith in a world full of fear? Do we see fear? So first I want to talk about some practical things. Then I want to talk about some spiritual things connected to something that's going on in our life right now, which is the coronavirus, right? Everybody's heard about it. Everybody knows about it. It's on the back of everybody's mind. What does the Bible have to say about these sort of things? Does God give us any kind of assurance? First, I want to talk about some actions that we're taking as a church. So we're dedicated to offering a clean and safe environment, and this is nothing new. We've been doing this for many years. We've had hand sanitizers available. We've wiped down the children's, all the toys for years have gotten wiped down and sanitized after every service, the rooms. We're just going to kind of amp those efforts up a little more. I'm sure Mary could use some help. She comes in every week. And if you'd like to help Mary, maybe ratchet up a little bit and just wipe stuff down. We may put the hand sanitizers in a more prominent place so you can see them. There is in your bulletin, there's an insert from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, giving you some tips on how to protect yourself. And they say the best thing you can do is wash your hands a lot. Then if you can't get to soap and water, use a hand sanitizer. So we have that available. Other thing is, of course, try to, if you're sick, confine yourself. You know, don't get around other people. If you cough, you know, cough into your sleeve, things like that. And those are in your bulletin. And we're going to continue as a church to monitor the situation and follow the recommendations of those that are in authority. We're gonna listen to all this. And one thing that they're recommending, which is something we can easily do, is to not shake hands. So in church, you usually like to shake hands or get real close to people. So it's something we can do to protect ourselves, is maybe start doing what they're talking about, the elbow bump, right? Just to keep your hands, because it gets transferred maybe to a door handle. And then another thing is try not to touch your face, all right, without washing your hands. So we're doing some practical things. We're going to pray today. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for our families. We're going to pray for our community. How many believe God does miracles? Yeah. Even the president said he was asking people to pray for a miracle. Why not? Let's pray for a miracle. God's done it before. So in your bulletin, there's some practical tips. Now let's talk about the spiritual side. Some questions that I've heard are things that pop up in our mind immediately. Are we in the great tribulation by seeing this? The answer is no. This is not the great tribulation. Is this an end time judgment spoken of in the book of Revelations, an apocalyptic judgment? The answer is no, it is not. It is part of an ongoing curse on the planet. We're going to talk about that, which began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned. As soon as they sinned, sickness came into the world, death came into the world, bloodshed came into the world. Before that, none of that ever happened. And Jesus said that there was this curse, and he talked about how it would progress. So is this the first such plague ever to hit our planet? No. Will it be the last? No. Is it the worst thing to ever come on our planet? No. Do you know what is the most contagious disease on the planet? The most contagious disease on the planet? Does anybody know what it is? It starts with a P. It's called panic. Panic is the most contagious, because you don't even have to be close to somebody. It can spread over the airwaves. It can be spread over the TV, over the radio, over the internet, over an email. It spreads very quickly, and it's the most contagious, and it can be deadly. Panic can be deadly, because you know what happens? Anything, when you're in a panic, whatever decision you make will not be the best decision that you could make. I've had experience in my life where I'm not proud of this, but in times I panicked, I made a decision, it was always a very, very bad decision, because you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. you're pushing the spirit out. And fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is not part of God's nature. It's nowhere in God. And panic is just the fear is overwhelming, and it causes you to take an action motivated by fear. And that's never a good action. It'll always be antithetical to the will of God in your life. So I want to caution you to guard against panic, because children of God should never panic. We have a Father in heaven who's holding us in his hand. Hate panic. Do whatever you can. Just stop and pray. Get someone to pray with you and war against panic. So let me just kind of put things in perspective a little bit, because I know there are people that are panicking over the coronavirus. And like I say, when panic comes in, reason goes out. Now let's just look at some statistics here. As of last night, I'm going to just give you statistics for the United States to make it simple. As of last night, 19 people have died in the United States from the coronavirus. All right? And okay, keep in mind, right now there's like a panic going across our nation. But did you know this year, in 2020, 15,000 people have died from the flu? So we're having a panic over 19. And I'm not saying we shouldn't take precautions. We should. And I'm not saying this is something to be concerned about. It is something to be concerned about. We should take some practical precautions. But if you can put things in perspective, 19 people have died from the coronavirus, and 15,000 have died from the flu. Did you know that last year, 80,000 people died in the U.S. from the flu? Well, the interesting thing is that the precautions that we're taking for the coronavirus actually are good precautions for the flu. And they're probably stuff that we ought to be doing every winter anyway, if 80,000 people died last year in the United States from the flu. But I'm just saying, maybe this ought to tone down the panic somewhat. I know there's something to be concerned about. I'm not saying being irresponsible. Let's just kind of balance it out and put it a little bit in perspective and help ourselves not get into a panic mode. What Jesus said, he said the effects of the curse that's on the planet, there's a difference between tribulation. Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation. So make a distinction when you're reading end time passages in the Bible. There's a difference between the tribulation and the great tribulation, which are apocalyptic end time events. I don't want to get into the whole eschatology and time frame there, but there is a difference between tribulation and the great tribulation. We're not in the great tribulation period, but Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. We've been in that for 6,000 years. And he said that the problems that we'd have in this earth are like birth pangs. What do we know about birth pangs? You don't experience birth pangs until you're pregnant, which means there's a life growing on the inside of you that we're anticipating this birth, right? So if we compare this to birth pangs, what are the groanings of the planet precipitating or predicting? They're predicting, pointing to that Jesus is going to come back. So the birth process has an end, and it's the birth of the child, right? The pangs that the earth is going through is a process, and the result is Jesus coming back, right? So what do we know about birth pangs? First, you have to be pregnant. Second, the closer you get to the date that you're looking for, the delivery, the more intense the pain becomes and the more frequent they become. Here's the things that Jesus said would be birth pangs. And I'm just taking a whole bunch of scriptures and putting it together. He talked about wars, rumors of wars, violence, famines, floods, fires. Just think about, are we seeing these things and are they intensifying? Earthquakes. I did a few years ago, I showed you a graph of earthquakes, and if you go back like 200 years, it's just barely rising, and then starting back about 70 years ago, the curve is just an exponential curve on earthquakes. All these, if you graph any of these things, you see an exponential increase just in the last 50 years or so. Volcanoes, unusual weather. Today we might call it climate change. These are in the Bible, saying that these things would happen. Raging of the sea, panic, fear, people's hearts failing them for fear, pestilence. What's a pestilence? It's a disease that you can't see that spreads from person to person. And plague. So the coronavirus is somewhere, it's either a pestilence or a plague or both. It's right in there. So basically, Jesus said these things would happen. We could expect these things to happen. Matthew 24, he said this, you'll be hearing of wars. Rumors of wars. What did he say? What happens when you hear it? How does panic happen? You hear it. You heard it. And what does he say? He says, when you're hearing of wars and rumors of wars, see that you're not frightened. See, so what's the subject of that sentence? It's you. It's me. Who is it that has to see that my soul does not take fright into it? It's me. See that you're not frightened. Why would I not be frightened? Because I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to do something foolish. But I'm also not going to live in fear and terror and fright and let that keep me from doing the things that God's called me to do and being who he's called me to be, because that will be the result. For those things must take place. The changes that are going on the planet, they're going to take place. There's nothing that man can do to stop the plan of God. There's nothing the devil can do. There's nothing that man can do. I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible. We should be responsible with the earth and taking care of the planet and taking care of each other and clean air and clean water. But let's put it in perspective and what the Bible says is happening, and we're witnessing this. He says, for these things must take place, but that's not yet the end. It's not the end. Coronavirus is not the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there'll be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Luke chapter 21, it says, another passage talking about the end times, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the thing. Not dying from the thing, dying from the expectation of the thing. You see that? So that's the bigger danger. The bigger danger than the virus is the fear of the virus. Because right here it says people will die just from the fear of the things happening which are coming upon the world. So here's Jesus' response to all this. John 16. In the world you will have tribulation. Okay? Is this a tribulation? Yeah. Are there lots of other tribulations? Yeah. And here's his response today. But be of good cheer. Oh my goodness. How can you be of good cheer when something like this is happening? Because you're looking up. You're looking to God. You know, and he's bigger than all this. And you know that he's going to protect you in the midst of this. And the Bible is full of examples. We'll look at a few of them in a minute. Of God protecting his people no matter what was going on in the society. All kinds of different problems. God takes care of his people. And that's what you say to yourself when you see this. God's going to take care of me. He's going to get me through this. I'm going to come through this thing. God always watches over his people. So that's the first thing you need, to make sure that you're his people, that you're in him, that you're covered by him. Look at that some more in a minute. But that's what he said. When you see in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I've overcome the world. There's nothing greater than the name of Jesus like we sang this morning. Just call upon his name. He said he's overcome the world. Call on his name. Get in his name. Live in his name. Live in God. Get yourself in God. Every morning, get up and get in the Holy Spirit. Get in God. Get his peace to come on you. Have him help you make your decisions. Do everything in God. Don't make plans and ask God to bless them. Go to God and say, give me your plan, and that's what I'm going to do, and it will already be blessed. Get in God. That's what I'm going to do. Just get in God. Have a time. That's why I encourage people, get a quiet time and alone time with God every day. You have to have it. Work it into your schedule. You say, Pastor, I don't have time. Where'd your time go? You choose what you want to do with your life. You just have to, have to see that it is imperative that I spend time alone with God. It's more important than anything else that you can do in life. So you have to set that priority. You're not in prison. Nobody's making you do something. You have chosen your schedule. Choose to put God at some place important and significant in your day. If you're not a morning person, maybe it's the evening, but sometime where you have a consistent time and place to get alone with God. John 14 is more advice on this. Don't let your heart be troubled. So when you look at when you see panic, have you seen, when you see, no, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. And I struggled with that for a long time until I began to realize I actually have control over my heart and whether I fear. I can just say, no, I'm just not going to fear. Yeah, it actually works like that. You just tell yourself, don't worry about it. And then your mind and everything goes, yeah, but. And then you tell yourself, don't worry about it. And you keep telling yourself, don't worry about it, until the yeah, but stop, and you stop with, don't worry about it. And why? Because you're irresponsible? No, because you trust in God. That makes all the difference. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. There's the solution. Believe in me. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. If you don't have peace, that's your battle right now, is getting in a place where you can get the peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do I give it to you? Because the world has their formula for peace, and guess what? God has his formula for peace. I'd go with God's, because it's better, and it works. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Again, we're in control. We have to not take the peace of God. Just get it. That's why you kind of need to get in a quiet place, you know? And when you do that sometime during the day, you'll find that it's easy to re-grab it when it starts to leave you during the day, because you've set that time, one time during the day, every day, to get into the secret place with God. You can reclaim that peace quickly. Take your peace and have faith in God. Matthew 10, Jesus told his disciples, now remember he said in John 14, 12, he said, the same things I do, you shall do. And greater things shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. Did you know that everything that Jesus did on this earth, except for going to the cross, we're supposed to do? And we understand he's the only one that can die as a propitiation for man's sins. So we're not going to do that. Everything else, he lived as a pattern for us to do. He taught, he preached, he healed, he ministered. That's what Christianity is all about. And he's telling his disciples here in Matthew chapter 10, he said, as you go, preach. Did you know that as you leave here, as you go to your work, as you go to your school, as you go to your neighborhood, you're supposed to carry the good news of the gospel with you? We should be looking for opportunities. There's people in here today because people carry... Dave is here because Carl, when he goes to work, he doesn't just work, he shares the gospel, and he invited Dave, and Dave is here today because Carl understands that, and 15 people are here because Vicky Bass understands that. We all need to understand. We're not just here for ourselves. We need to affect the world around us. We need to take what God has given us and share it with. Let's not be selfish. Let's share it. There's plenty of peace to go around. There's plenty of joy to go around. In fact, the more you give, the more God gives you. He likes us to be a river, not a stagnant pond. And if you don't give out, God's always given, then we become stagnant. We need to be a vessel that God is flowing through, and his love is flowing through, his peace is flowing through. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Could God take this virus that obviously comes from the pit of hell? Could God take it and use it for his good? Yeah. You know, God is famous for taking things that the devil has foisted upon people and turning it around to bring redemption, to bring salvation, to bring healing, to bring help. Did you know that after 9/11, when we had the terrorist attacks on the towers, more people went to church that next Sunday and the next Sunday than in the history of the United States? See, when bad things happen, people know where to turn. They cry out to God. So could God take this that the devil meant for evil and turn it and use it for good? I believe that's his nature. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look what he told his disciples to do. Heal the sick. What about turning this around and just having an expectation of being used to heal people? I believe it's time for the church to rise up and fulfill All of us, all Christians, to fulfill our destiny, which is to heal the sick. In January, we had 21 days of prayer and fastings, and we had 3 Wednesday night services where we prayed for people, and a whole bunch of people got sick. There's somebody sitting right here that got healed of a bone disease for 10 years. She had for 10 years, and the doctors could do nothing, and God healed her. God's still in the healing business, folks. There's been many healings. What? Don't give up. Don't say it can't. God is still in the healing business. As you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick. Look at this. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. I think that's very similar to this. Leprosy was a highly contagious disease. You remember when lepers came to him? Jesus didn't say, oh, stay away. Now you got to know where your faith is at. But he touched the people that had a communicable disease, and he healed them. Now, I'm not saying you throw caution to the wind, but I'm also not saying let's be afraid of this. Let's see this as an opportunity to pray for people and see God do supernatural stuff. Cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. What have you freely received from the Lord? Lots of good stuff, right? Freely give it. Let's not just keep it. Let's give it. So you know what? Christianity is all about the supernatural. What if this is going to be the greatest day of the church in the history of the world for us to start praying for people and see people set free from sickness and disease? Did you know that God has always protected his people? Hey, think about how many times he's done that in Scripture. Think of the people of Israel, his people that were in bondage, and he brought plagues, 10 plagues on the people that were holding them captive, and none of them touched his people. Even though they were right there, it didn't touch them. When they came to the Red Sea, and they were between the devil and the deep blue sea, as they say, Pharaoh and his army was chasing them in the Red Sea, God parted the Red Sea, didn't he? Made a way where there was no way. They went through the Red Sea, and then what happened? When the Pharaoh and his army came in, it swallowed them up. God protected them from them. When they were in the wilderness, they had a cloud that covered them by day and a fire by night. Protected them from the heat, protected them from the cold. He brought water from a rock. He brought manna from heaven. This is how God takes care of his people. When Daniel was faced with the lion's den, he didn't keep Daniel from getting thrown in the lion's den. He protected him inside the lion's den so that the lions wouldn't hurt him. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to bow to the king's idol, he didn't keep them from getting thrown into the fiery furnace. They got thrown into the fiery furnace, but it says the only thing that burned was the ropes on their hands and their feet. And not even their hair was singed, nor was the smell of smoke upon them, the Bible says. God protected them in the midst of it. God is famous for protecting his people. Are you his people here today? I want to tell you the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to protect you if you ask him to, if you believe. And before we leave here today, we're going to pray over ourselves and our church and our family's protection from anything that the devil throws at us. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. How many servants of the Lord do we have here today? This is our heritage. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law because he became a curse for us. So here's how it works. Psalm 91. I'm going to go through this verse by verse very quickly. It's in the back of your notes. Take this home. Open up your Bible. Read it every day. I pray this all the time over my family. For many, many years, I've prayed this and believed this. Verse 1 says, he who dwells, and here's the beginning. Here's how it works. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. So that's the question. Do you dwell in the shelter? Where's the shelter? It's a secret. The King James says the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place. Do you have a secret place? Do you have a time alone with God? A shelter where you get away from the storm. He who dwells, and what is that? That's where you live. That means it's habitual and it's constant. It's where you stay. Stay in the presence of God, right? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, what's going to happen? He'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Stay in the sweet spot with God. It's your choice. You have to do it every day. Verse 2, I will say to the Lord. So now the next thing is, what comes out of our mouth? Oh me, or oh my, or I'm afraid, or that virus is going to get me. No, here's what you say. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Watch what comes out of your mouth. proclaim the goodness of God. Verse 3, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from what? The deadly pestilence. That's what this is. It's a deadly pestilence. It's a pestilence. It's something that's communicable. You don't see it. It's in darkness, and it's deadly. And it says, in the scripture, it says, what? Is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Claim this over yourself every day. Verse 4. He'll cover you with his pinions. The pinions are the wing root where the feathers attach, this part, the base of the wings. And under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. A bulwark is a military term. It's a place you go for protection. Again, the protection of the Lord. Verse 5, you'll not be afraid of the terror by night. Don't be afraid. Or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness. There it is again. God keeps repeating it. This sort of thing. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and he put it in his word years ago so that you could claim it. The pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. Look at this. Yeah, but people are dropping like flies. Yeah, he said this. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. Look at this. But it shall not approach you. Huh? Who is you? It's the one who claims it. It's the one who speaks those words. It's the one who has the secret place, who stays under the shadow of the Almighty. So that's up to me. That's up to you. Get in that place. And 1,000 can fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, and there is this right, it shall not approach you. It's not arrogant, it's not pride, it's the scripture, it's the will of God, it's what God wants you to say, that no matter what, it's not going to approach me. Amen. Right? Amen. That's right there in the Bible. What? You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Verse 9, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwell. There it is again, the dwelling place. Where do you dwell? Where do you run? Where do you go for shelter? Do you go to the radio? Do you go to the news? Do you go to Facebook? Do you go to the internet? Or do you go to God? Go to God. I'm going to encourage you, go to God. Make him your dwelling place. Verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. What's your tent? That's your family. That's where your family lives. We would say today, your house. It's not going to come on your house, your family, your children, whoever lives with you, whatever concerns you. It's not going to come. Claim that. No, no evil is going to befall me, nor will any plague come near my tent. Claim it. Verse 11, he'll give his angels charge concerning you. Who's you? The person that dwells in the secret place. To guard you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample down. Verse 14, because ye have loved me. There it goes. It comes back to the spending time with God, getting in the presence of God. This is all it takes. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be the perfect person. You just have to love God. How many love God in this place? This is you then. This is speaking to you. This is your protection. It's what you can have. This is your port protection, the place to go in the storm. Because he has loved me, I will deliver him. Yeah. I'll set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I won't be there to answer him. He's going to get my answering machine. Is that what it says? No. You never get God's answering machine. You never get a busy signal. It never goes to voicemail. Like I said, he will call upon me and I will answer him. Is there people you ever tried to get a hold of? I need this person to answer. And you get the voicemail. It never happens with God. He says right there, you call on me, I'll answer. Every time when I see the caller ID and I see Jamie Zublik's calling, oh, I'm going to get that call. I got to talk to Jamie. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to David or Rebecca or Jerry. God's got you on speed dial and he's got your caller ID and he's going to answer your call. He'll call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. He didn't say you wouldn't have trouble. He said he'd be with you and watch, and I will rescue him and honor him. So you're going to come out on the other side, just like Daniel. He got thrown in the lion's den, but he got out. He didn't get bit. He didn't get scratched, nothing. Watch this, verse 16. Hang on to this one. With a long life. Everybody say long life. That's what you're destined for. Yeah? Not a short life. Don't say that. Don't say that. I've known people that said, oh, I'm going to die young. Guess what happened? They prophesied their own future. No, say, I'm going to live a long life. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. Yeah. Say this with me. Let's say this together. I'm not going to die of the flu. I'm going to live a long life. I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I will help others to know God. And I'm going to see miracles in my life. Three more verses, and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray over this thing. Three more verses just to build your faith. They're in your notes. Jesus said, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Hang on to that, right? Nothing will injure you. Say that. It's nothing. You say that every morning, every day. No, it's not going to injure me. I'm not going to be irresponsible, but it's not going to get on me. 1,000 can fall at my side, 10,000, but it's not going to get on me. Romans 8 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? 1 John 5:4, the theme verse of our church. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let's hook our faith up to God. It's not the first plague to ever hit this planet. And you know what? It won't be the last. But I just want to prophesy over you and speak to you that you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're not only going to make it, you're going to help other people in the midst of this storm. No matter how bad it gets, in the midst of this, people are going to, you're going to have an opportunity to minister to other people. The world needs us Christians to rise up and to tell the good news of the gospel and to be a place of healing. We need to rise up. Believe, you know, it doesn't just have to happen here. I saw more healings out on the campus of UCLA just as a young person, as a student praying for people. God will use anybody. God will use children. God will use the youngest among us. I've seen people get healed by five-year-olds praying over them. You don't have to have a big title. You don't have to have a robe. You don't have to have a degree. You just have to have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and a desire to see people blessed. God wants to use the church as a place for healing. You're supposed to help your coworkers be calm. I can foresee, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I can foresee more and more people getting panicked. People around you, people at work, fear coming over them. The devil's going to use it to cause them to make a bad decision. And you know what? God's going to put you in their life to be a place of calm. Say, listen, let me pray with you. Do you know Jesus? Because there's a place of security and there's a place of safety in God. God's going to put people into your life. God's going to use this as an opportunity for us to reach people with the gospel. 80% of Alachua County does not go to church or have a relationship with God. The opportunity is all around us. The harvest is, the fields are white and ready for harvest for us to go out into the world and bring people into the kingdom of God. Help them trust God. Let's pray for our city right now. Well, let's start closest and move out. Lord, right now we come into agreement for our tent, for our home, for our family, for our children, our place. And we plead the blood of Jesus. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No sickness shall come into our tent. If it lights upon us, it will die immediately by the blood of Jesus. We curse sickness off of our tent, our home, our family, in Jesus' name. Lord, we curse sickness off of our church, our people of our church, the people that come to our church. We break its power right now. We thank you for the angels that you said guard and protect us and surround us like a shield. No weapon formed against this church shall prosper. I curse virus, sickness, disease, flu off of the people of God in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for our city. We plead for our city. We plead for Gainesville and Alachua County. Where we live, Lord God. So we take ownership of our community and we plead the blood of Jesus over our community right now. And we put a hedge of protection of the blood of Jesus over our entire county right now in Jesus' name. If there's coronavirus living in our county, I curse it right now in the name of Jesus and say, die, die, die right now. Coronavirus, die in Alachua County in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask you to use this thing that's happening across our country as an opportunity to bring souls into the kingdom of God. Give us an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with people, Lord God. Open the door of opportunity. right now with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you. It is even more important than anything that we just talked about. It. That is this: if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today and you say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Can anybody know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know you have eternal life. Well, how do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. That's how simple it is. Being born again means you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having a Bible doesn't make you a Christian. You have to give your life to Christ. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. You might be here today, though, and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today, I'm not where I want to be with God, and I want to get back on track. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or embarrass you. But right where you're seated, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to be sure, if you died tonight, you go to heaven, or you need to get back on track with God, go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Today is a new beginning. You want to make a new beginning. You want to make a fresh start. You want to surrender your life to Christ. Anybody else? Everybody pray this prayer with them. Pray it out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'm going to send you some special materials in the mail. At the end of the service, just moments away, there's going to be some prayer teams up here to pray with anybody that needs prayer. Don't forget to put your connection card in the offering basket. Instead of an offering scripture, I just wanted to let you know what a great opportunity you have to be able to give online. There's three ways that you can give. We say this every week. You can give in the service in the offering basket. You can give online, and you can text to give. So if, you know, what the CDC is recommending, if you have cough or sneezing or symptoms like that you should stay home. So what's going to happen to protect everybody else? You're not going to get this, obviously, but maybe you might stay home. And this is a good time to say, you know what, how does our church survive? It survives on the tithes and offerings of our people. So this would be a good time to talk about setting up recurring giving online, or being able to give online. If you can't make it to the service, obviously we need to continue to pay salaries and keep the lights going. This would be a good time to just, it's so simple to go online. You can either give a one-time gift and do it every time, or you can set up recurring giving. It's very easy. You can also text to give. So it's just a good time to think about that. What might happen, let's say the CDC says, you know, we don't want you guys to meet, we don't meet. Well, hopefully everybody will be able to just go online and give our offering, so at least we can keep GRU happy and the landlord and keep moving along. Does that make sense? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give in the kingdom of God good seed into good soil. We ask you to take these gifts and cause them to win souls and make disciples. I pray you bless the giver with a hundredfold return, which is what you promised your disciples. And now I speak this blessing over your people that you had Moses speak over your people many years ago. I say they're blessed coming in and they're blessed going out. In the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their apartment, their animals, everything they have. I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God. Because they're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to lay hands on the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. Everybody agree with that? Said, amen. God bless you.